allow individuals who are proponents in favor of LD 1505 to please step forward.
Senator Davis, Representative Martin, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on State and Local Government. I am Walt Whitcomb, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, speaking in behalf of the administration in support of LD 1505, an act to create consistency in the regulations of pesticides. Pesticides are composed of a wide range of substances, including synthetic and organic compounds that are used together with other strategies to mitigate the effects of every manner of pest. They are used to control germs, insects, rodents, weeds, and a variety of other pests that threaten the health of life, of humans, crops, and the landscape. The greatest number of registered pesticide products are associated with the spaces in which we live and work to protect humans, plants, and pests, structures, and so forth. As the increasing movement of mankind and the shifting climate patterns has fostered this proliferation of invasive pests and the spread of diseases transmitted by ticks, mosquitoes, and other insects, effective means of controlling dangerous pests over the entire area of infestation has become of paramount importance. Pests have no regard for personal or governmental boundaries. At the same time, improper use of pesticides carries its own risks. If not used appropriately, pesticides can pose risks to humans, wildlife, and the environment. That is why pesticides are already regulated more than any other group of legal substances in this country. First of all, pesticides are intently scrutinized at the federal level by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, before they're ever allowed in the marketplace. For instance, a 2016 study by CropLife International showed that the average cost of developing and conducting toxicity tests for a single new pesticide has risen to $286 million. Approximately 160,000 molecules must be evaluated to identify a single useful active ingredient. Research, development, and toxicity testing and federal registration for a pesticide now takes an average of 11.3 years to complete. Once EPA has determined that an active ingredient meets the minimum requirements for sale as a pesticide, then it sets about the task, only then, of determining how the product can, and more importantly, cannot be used. Restrictions take the form of so-called a pesticide label, which is a legally binding set of instructions that accompany a new product. In some cases, EPA limits the use of a product to persons who are certified as competent to apply pesticides, passing an examination. The next tier of pesticide regulation occurs at the state level. Maine has one of the most nationally respected statewide regulatory programs that includes some of the most stringent applicator licensing requirements in the country, a three-tier licensing program for companies offering pesticide application services, a requirement for applicator licensing whenever pesticides are used in any area where the public is allowed, applicator licensing for any food and eating establishment, a very broad licensing requirement for farmers, conventional and organic, that applies to over-the-counter products, a school integrated pest management rule, an indoor pesticide application rule, probably the most stringent pesticide drift rule in the country, a pesticide notification rule, a rule to protect water quality, a free, obsolete pesticide collection program, and continuously updated pesticide education programs. Maine has a national reputation for the most stringent set of pesticide regulations. The regulated community works within those boundaries, knowing that the Maine public is very cautious about pesticides. Even groups that oppose all uses of pesticides rate Maine highly for state policies on the use of integrated pest management, IPM, a science-based method for addressing pest problems resulting in the lowest possible risk. Maine is one of only seven states where local towns can attempt to regulate pesticides. And for good reason, 43 states have recognized that local regulation of pest control is impractical and unwieldy for commerce, struggles to separate fact from emotion, and potentially is even a risk to public health.
Commissioner.
Yes.
Excuse me. Sorry for interrupting you. You may not have been here, but we did We are doing a three-minute clock, so if you could wrap it up, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah. I think I would then skip to my summary comments and make the point that regulating in 496 incorporated communities has the potential for 496 sets of rules, creating an imposition on the public as well as those companies that are working in that arena. And in summary, I'll leave the committee with these thoughts. Pesticides are very heavily regulated. Having a haphazard regulated community creates hazards for both the public and the communities. That we have a very competent scientific board that works in those to establish those ordinances. Towns do not have the expertise or manpower to properly enforce public law. Staff of the Pesticide Control Board cannot fix local ordinances to meet vague local and specific science objectives, although all parties seem to think they can do the impossible. And in summary, I'd say the associated costs with a fragmented pesticide regulatory landscape impact all of our citizens and the commerce. It's a very scientific process, best left to people who are objective and still based on emotions, and certainly would be willing to meet with the committee to provide any additional information or to answer any questions if you choose to have any right now.
Thank you, Commissioner. Again, I apologize for having to interrupt your testimony. Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions from committee members? Representative Bryant.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative